Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just dead.
I can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
So here we are in an all Muller edition of Can't Pole, Can't Throw. The Muller Award, of course, celebrates the extraordinary and the ridiculous in cricket. And since we last recorded, there have been so many ridiculous and extraordinary moments in cricket that we don't have time to fit any of our other regular segments in. So none of that. This will be just all Muller all the time. That's what you're getting.
Of course, you're here with Kat Jones and Dan Liebke, and this is the Can't Bowl, Can't Throw cricket show normally, but the all Muller edition. Muller, of course, named after Scott Muller, because way back in time he was playing a test for Australia and his sledge was picked up on mic. Can't bowl, can't throw.
Yes.
And it sounded like Shane Warne.
It wasn't Shane Warne.
No, Joe the cameraman later took responsibility. So this award is named in his honour. It's going to be a tough one to win today, Dan Liebke, because there are so many nominations.
There's close to a dozen nominations, I think. And we'll start with the first one. And the first one is a change to the rules. And this mostly applies to Renegades matches in the Big Bash League. So they've decided there's been controversy over the years. Whenever the ball hits the closed roof, it's just like, well, should that be a six? Should that be a dead ball? Mm. They've gone back and forth a few times. And now they've decided that let's let the umpires decide. Let's let the on-field umpires make a decision. If it hits the roof, they'll have a look at it. They'll squint their eyes. They'll get out their calculus. And
they set square.
Yeah, they're trying to determine, was that going to go for a six or not? And they'll either raise their arms for a six or they'll do a dead ball signal and the bowler will have to bowl it again. So
it'll be great. Do you think they'll let the suspense build? They'll just, the camera zooms in on them. Which signal are they going to put out? I hope that happens.
But yeah, I hope they've got one arm up for the six. They've got one arm in front of their knee for the dead ball. And then you're just waiting to see which arm goes up or which arm goes down.
Now, this requires the umpires to have some additional skills to umpire the matches. As we said, this rule, delightfully, is this rule's purely invented for the Marvel Stadium and the Renegades. But I love the fact that now all the umpires are going to have a degree in physics in order to assess the parabola of the ball and the trajectory.
They're going to have to integrate it all and work out exactly where the ball was going to land.
Yeah, you go to umpire school and they'll make you fill in one of those assignments and those exams where it says the ball is travelling at 46 kilometres an hour off Dave Warner's bat.
Yes. If he's facing up to Jofra Archer bowling at 183 kilometres an hour. Yes. So, it's going to be very exciting. And I like the idea that this won't cause any controversy at all. The first time the umpire goes, squints a bit, it goes, I reckon that's a six. No one's going to complain at all. Or if he does it, like there's goes, you know, 9 runs needed off 2 balls, someone tonks it and it hits the roof, there's not going to be any pressure on the umpire at all, is there?
No, and also no one, I've already forgotten, no one can remember what the rule was before when it actually hit the roof.
Yep.
There'll be all sorts of people chatting about that as well, which is just wonderful.
Yes.
And, you know, it's only 6 runs or so.
Yeah, it's not that important.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a good throwback to the old days of when umpires just had their best guess at LBWs and runouts. They just have a look and go, oh, I don't know, I reckon it's out. So a return to the vibes-based decision-making in the sport. So that's the first nomination, the roof at the Marvel Stadium.
Yep.
So what have we got next?
Well, my first nomination is for the 100.
Oh, the 100's back. Wait a second.
Can you cue it up?
Need to hold on here.
I am an ECB marketing droid, and I have created the optimal form of cricket.
What's 10 times 10?
How many balls are there in 16.4 overs?
What's the greatest cricket tournament the world has ever seen?
The 100.
The 100 is Substack meets Masterclass meets The Economist meets The New Yorker.
Anyway, every time we think we've seen the last of the 100, either for the year or forevermore, it bounces right back.
Yes.
And there are now some speculation about, is the 100 going to be banned and deleted? Or are there now going to be 5 new possible versions of the 100? So the ECB are considering this. And what I love about this is I really hope they're calling this choice the 500.
The 500, yeah. As like the card game.
I mean, they're going to get to 100 new alternatives pretty soon.
I think so. I think that's the goal because they've got, you know, their summer has just finished. I think they've got plenty of time now to fill it in and expand it out. They've got 5 alternatives at the moment and, they'll easily be able to get another 95 in before England's next summer begins. Now, most of the 5 options are pretty boring. It's just, you know, all variations on funding and, you know, relegation and promotion and all that kind of stuff.
I hope they're bidding for it like you do when you're playing 500.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
It goes around the ECB boardroom and they go, I bid 6 hearts. And the next one goes, nah, 10 no trumps.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be very good.
Yep.
Very good indeed. I'm assuming that as these new ones come in, they'll be, you know, they'll go back to the good old days when the 100 was first announced and they had all their silly rules that they were thinking about. I'd like to think that some of these 95 new alternatives they're coming up with in the next year will have silly rules attached to them as well.
Yeah, reinvent those rules again. They were all good ideas at the time. They just didn't fly. But we're in a new era now.
We are in a new era. But we could see that they're already thinking about this because the things that caught my eye in the 5th option that was being proposed was something called the investable pyramid. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. And something called the Festival of the 100.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm hoping the Festival of the 100 is like a music festival, but like a medieval, you know, those medieval shows, medieval fairs.
Yep.
And we get the players all dressed up as knights. Half of them are knights. Alistair Cook's a knight.
I mean, yeah, that's right.
Get all the ones who've been knighted, get them dressed up as knights, get others dressed up as peasants.
Have the cricket grounds just a field of mud.
Yeah, exactly.
No grass.
Yeah,
no
period appropriate costumes. Yeah.
That'd be good. What, jousting?
Jousting, yeah. Archery.
Oh, yeah.
And drinking, you know, ale from tankards and the like. I think that's very promising for the Festival of the 100.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be very much looking forward to it.
I think Ben Stokes, who would look good in costume? Let's really think about this because I reckon Ben Stokes, the ones with beards, Ben Stokes, Mark Wood.
Yes.
Johnny Bairstow, they'd all look good in costume. The facial hair's just right.
Yeah, I think it is very right. It's very Shakespearean. Yeah. Like especially the kind of very neatly trimmed beards.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, we have seen, I've got an image somewhere on my computer of Alistair Cook dressed up as a knight.
Yes.
So I've seen him in knight garb before. So he's fine.
Already pitching it. He's in the boardroom with his clothing on and his costume.
Yeah.
And Joss Butler has a beard now too.
Does he?
I think so.
Can't imagine Joss Butler with a beard. He always seems like a clean-shaven, young, nice gentleman, unlike all these other hooligans with beards.
Probably comes and goes. Yeah. I think the name, what are the names, which cricketers' names would suit a medieval festival? I reckon Sophie Eccleston.
Lady Sophie of Eccleston.
Yes, it sounds very Game of Thrones.
It does indeed.
And also we do have Heather Knight. I mean,
we do, Heather Knight, yes.
Perfect.
Another famous knight. And Ben Stokes is, you know, on the brink of being knighted.
Yes.
You know, next time England win a test, he'll be knighted probably.
Yeah. Oh, T20.
Yeah.
I think Will Jacks sounds very medieval, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's very good.
And
also
Jofra Archer.
It should be Will Jackspear. Because that sounds like one of the names that Shakespeare erroneously signed. Because he had about 15 different aliases that were all variations of Will Shakespeare. So Will Jackspear, I'm certain, was one of them.
This is great. We've workshopped this. It's had more work than the original 100 ever did.
Yes.
Already.
Yeah, I think this will be like number 76 on their list of options for next year.
Look, and so let's move on from the Festival of the Hundred, which we've already done to death. But now, I didn't actually check what the investable pyramid was, but I hope it's a pyramid scheme.
I think it is a pyramid scheme.
Where people, you know, you could... maybe where people could purchase the chance to play in the Hundred.
Yes.
And the more people you get to co-invest underneath you, the greater your chance of selection.
I think that's exactly what it is. Individual human beings trying to invest in this and eventually, you know, getting some badge or some jacket which lets them go out and have a hit.
Yeah, that's right. And then they can join in the jousting with Jofra Archer or whatever's happening.
Well, Jofra Archer's in the archery, obviously.
That's too obvious.
Yes.
But I do like the idea that they will all be purchasing their chance.
Mm.
And we'll find out more about these various schemes as the Hundred develops over the winter. They've got to do something over winter to keep themselves occupied.
It does keep us occupied anyway. So good work. Thank you, ECB. And continuing on in England cricket, what's our next nomination here?
We have Lewis Goldsworthy. Mm. And Lewis Goldsworthy, not a famous household name yet.
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
But he had this great moment in... this was in county cricket. This is the Somerset v Kent match, the one we were all talking about.
Mm.
And he was bowled by Jaz Singh. But it turns out he wasn't bowled by the ball because the replay showed that the delivery had actually cracked a bit out of the bat, which had then gone on to hit the stumps,
Whoa.
This bit that had been broken out of the bat. So Fantastic. Technically that counts as hit wicket. So he was actually out hit wicket.
A tiny bit of the bat hit the wicket.
A tiny little bit of the bat hit the wicket, except he wasn't out hit wicket because the umpire had his arm out because it was a no ball. This was a very thrilling 2 seconds of cricket in which there was a bowled, a bat broken, a hit wicket and a no ball all in, you know, 2 seconds of cricket. So that's magnificent.
Incredible. Can't bowl, can't hit.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, that
I still think it would have been better if the ball that broke the bat then flew to a fielder who caught it, which also wouldn't have been out because of the no ball, but then that fielder ran out the non-striker who was backing up too far and that would have been out.
So that would have been fantastic. And also we could have had the pads being hit on the way through there too.
Yeah, so plenty of options. So it's something for them to work on next season.
Yeah, and then you will get your household name status and possibly a knighthood, Lewis Goldsworthy.
Yes.
Now let's move on to Ben Stokes' facial hair. And no. Ben Stokes' head hair.
Ben Stokes' head
hair,
We've
already done the facial hair.
Let's
move on to Ben Stokes' hair.
Mm.
He's been tweeting about his hair and he tweeted out, in support of mental health, I want to share how a hair transplant with Wimpole Clinic boosted my confidence. The results were astounding. I highly recommend Wimpole Clinic for anyone considering this procedure. First up, no way he wrote that himself. Anyway, a few people pointed out that this...
Well, there was a semicolon in it, so I don't believe Ben Stokes knows how to use semicolons.
No. Nobody knows how to use a semicolon. Anyway, a few people pointed out that this didn't really seem like a genuine endorsement for mental health or how fresh hair could help your mental health. I mean, was it really in support of mental health at all? Was it just in support of hair health?
Well, maybe, yeah.
I mean,
a very cynical person might look at the tweet and think, this feels a little bit like an ad for the Wimpole Clinic.
Yes.
You'd have to be very cynical, though, to think
Extremely.
That.
Extremely. And I'm sure Ben Stokes pays full price at the Wimpole Clinic.
Yes. And but then he set people straight, right, with a follow-up tweet a few minutes later. And this one I do believe was written by him because there's quite a few spelling errors in there. And his follow-up tweet said, as someone who openly talks about mental health on a personal level, the fact people think I'm, quote, using mental health rather than trying to destigmatize something that thousands of men capitalized for some reason, suffer with, got me like, and then a gif of somebody rubbing their temples in confusion. So that one was written by Ben Stokes, him being annoyed that people questioned the veracity of the previous tweet.
Yes, I do love how they've pitched this to Ben Stokes. Let's link it to mental health. Ben Stokes tweeted out, this will really make you look good. And then he's gone, shit, after the people have replied. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm off to the Wimpole Clinic as soon as we finish recording. I'll get a fresh head of hair, just like Ben Stokes.
Sorry, it's just not fair, but all hair transplant clinics are only available. They only accept cricketers and ex-pro cricketers.
Oh, no. I'll sign up for the 100. I'll put my money into the pyramid scheme and then I'll be eligible.
Yeah, you get a discount.
Yes. All right, so our next nomination is David Warner, who decided that he was going to bat right-handed.
Wow.
So Australia have been in India preparing for the World Cup. They prepared for this in the kind of unorthodox fashion of being thrashed five games in a row. And in the fifth of those matches, Dave Warner decided that maybe the problem for Australia was that he'd been batting the wrong way around for the entire time, like his entire career. He'd been batting left-handed all this time. Silly thing to be doing. From now on, he was going to face up right-handed. So that's what he did to Ravi Ashwin.
So he was going back in time, because I'm pretty sure when he was a young tacker, he's right-handed and he used to bat right-handed.
I think he spent one season batting right-handed just because he could. So
yes.
Fair enough. And Sean Abbott had an explanation for what Dave Warner was doing.
Sean Abbott, spokesperson for Dave Warner.
Yes. Yeah. So what did Sean have to say?
Oh, let me find the quote. So Sean Abbott said, "Davey just thought he had to change it up. He plays golf right-handed. We see how dynamic he is with his switch hitting and stuff. So he weighed up those options. He's done it before. He practices it in the net. So it was like, oh, this is different. But Davey's Davey, so we just let him crack on."
Davey's Davey, so we just let him crack on. Sounds like a...
It's a good slogan.
It's a good slogan. I'm pretty sure that's the slogan that got them into all that trouble in South Africa, though. Davey's Davey, so we just let him crack on.
Yep.
Eventually, Warner decided that he was going to switch hit Ashwin, which meant he was now back to batting left-handed.
Yes, he should never have changed in the first place.
And he missed the shot and fell over, and the ball hit his back leg, and he was given out LBW, but shouldn't have been, because somehow in all the mess he got an inside edge onto the ball. And I say it's an inside edge. It may have been an outside edge, because no one knows what edge it was at this stage.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it didn't matter. He didn't review, so he was out. And that will definitely hurt his right-handed average quite a lot, I think.
Yes, that's right. And, of course, Australia just, you know, still didn't win any matches from it. So I hope he doesn't do it in the World Cup.
No, hopefully not. They did win their third match of the series, so they've turned their form around slightly. But I do hope that Warner will, you know, the change in form will inspire them all to bat and bowl and field with the opposite hand of what they're used to.
Well, maybe India could do that and give the rest of the world a chance because they're definitely going to win this.
That looks very likely.
And just on that, I do have a bet.
Oh, wait a sec. See, we don't, we're going to have jingles in this one, but...
No, mind the jingle.
Yeah, here we go.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realised and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realised that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid and stupid.
There we go. Shane Warne and Mark Waugh reminding us to always gamble responsibly. And you've presumably gambled very responsibly.
Yes, well, I've had a very long-term bet on the Cricket World Cup, because I had a bet on India to win it. Because I tried to put a bet on them for the World Test Championship, and for some reason the World Cup was listed, I don't know, 20 months early or something in the betting app. So I accidentally put a bet on India.
So you were trying to put a bet on the World Test Championship final between Australia and India.
Yeah, and I was going to bet on India.
And you accidentally bet on India in the World Cup.
I've accidentally bet on India for the World Cup. So anyway, that bet still stands, and it's been sitting there for quite some time.
You must have got terrible odds. No, you must have got what you thought were really good odds for a two-horse
race. I thought it was great odds. Yeah, I thought it was great odds at the time for the Test Championship. Like, it was 10-1 or something. Anyway,
the odds
haven't changed. I'm happy. I'll stand by my bet. But I also put another sneaky bet on South Africa to win the World Cup at 10. And also, I always go for the long shot.
Yeah.
50 cents or maybe 20 cents
on the Netherlands.
Yeah. Yep. 501. I'm going to win $501.
Well, I did do what I thought was a very clever tweet a few days ago, where I thought, oh, look at Australia. Aren't they very clever to have, you know, their squad has Abbott to Zampa, you know, covering the entire alphabet. Surely no other team can match that. People immediately pounced on me, said, no, Pakistan have got an A to Z as well. I can't remember who they were. Afridi to some player whose name begins with Z. And then someone else pointed out that someone actually goes further, wider than Australia, and this is the Netherlands. They've got, again, someone whose name begins with A and someone whose name is ZY something. So, they easily thrash Australia there. So congratulations. Netherlands are the proper A to Z team.
They are. And also, this is an unwritten rule. I didn't realise there was this rule.
Yeah, you had
to. In order to qualify, you've got to cover the alphabet.
So the other seven teams are all disqualified.
Who knew?
It's down to Australia, Pakistan and Netherlands. So we'll see who makes the final.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to nominate someone else now, and that is Daniel Hughes, because in Australia, our domestic tournament, the Marsh Cup, is back.
Yes.
And And the highlight so far was this Daniel Hughes.
This may not be the highlight. We may have a better highlight coming up, but this is a highlight.
A highlight, okay. So he was caught behind by Tasmania's Riley Meredith. He was given out and then he had the decision overturned because he claimed he was distracted by Meredith's towel falling out of his pants as he ran into bowl.
Yep.
Doesn't this happen all the time that towels fall out of pants?
I think so, yeah. I mean, none of them are attached to anything. They drop out all the time. Players are running very fast as they come into bowl.
And I also didn't know that it was a criteria for these mullers that there had to be overturned dismissals in every single muller. But so far, I think we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, at least
50%.
Count.
Yeah.
I mean, the other great thing about this was that Dan Hughes took a wild swing at the ball before claiming he was distracted. So I imagine if he'd connected and hit the ball for six, he would have said, oh, sorry, that shouldn't count. That should be a dead ball. As if it had hit the roof at Marvel Stadium.
I was so distracted.
I was too distracted. Please call it a dead ball.
But yes. Yeah.
Anyway, I think bowlers should be allowed to drop any piece of clothing they like. Batters get it too easy. They should be more focused on the ball in the hand. They shouldn't even be
looking at anything else.
So if they're so easily distracted by a piece of fabric, then bad luck. I'd love to see, you know, bowlers coming in with capes on that they discard. And, you know, as they leap to bowl the ball, they just undo their belt or something and just leap out of their trousers and bowling in their jocks.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to get a wicket.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I'm all for that as well.
Hmm.
Excellent. Now, do we have a nomination for Glenn Maxwell? Glenn Maxwell back?
We do. He is back.
He's back, baby.
He's back and he has a baby. So Glenn Maxwell is a dad. His son is named Logan Maverick Maxwell, which is just a pure box office name.
It's fantastic.
I did the calculations. Logan earned $619 million at the box office.
Yep.
Top Gun Maverick earned $1.493 billion.
Right.
So that means Glenn Maxwell has a $2 billion baby.
Well,
so
it's better than his
good.
Dad. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a perfect name for the new baby. And such a Maverick move to give him the Maverick name as a middle name. So it's, you know, secret. It's hidden away from general view.
Yes, the $2 billion baby. I'm sure he'll thank you for the nickname.
Yes, definitely.
He loves nicknames of this type.
Yes. The nickname that I'm going with is Lomax.
Okay.
So Logan Maxwell. I hope he's named as Lomax as he grows up. You know, just like some kind of artificial intelligence optimization algorithm. You know, how are you going to find the best solution to this problem? Oh, we're going to use the Lomax algorithm.
You should invent that.
Yes.
Well, you should, even if you pretended to invent that, most of the AI we're seeing just give such garbage responses, so I don't think it really matters.
Yes. Anyway, Maxwell did celebrate returning to the Australian side for the final ODI against India, and he did a bit of a Lomax himself. He didn't score many runs.
No.
I think he only made 5 runs, but he did take India's top 4 wickets. So he finished with 4 for 40 off 10 overs in a 350-plus run chase, and that meant Australia won.
So Maxwell coming back has turned Australia's fortunes,
yep.
Absolutely. So otherwise, their warm-up has been unremarkable. Mm. And currently versus India, they've been playing. But before that, it was South Africa. And South Africa lost 5 in a row. So it looked all good, rosy for Australia. And then they lost 3 T20s and 2 1-dayers. And then South Africa came back, won 3 1-dayers against Australia.
Yes.
So South Africa's batters and bowlers all peaking at the right time, hence my bet on them. But they have not had to contend with Maxwell just yet.
No, here comes Maxwell.
Yes.
Maxwell's going to sort it all out for Australia. So that's good news for Australia.
Now, surely that's the end of the mullers.
No, we've still got several more. So we've got Ish Sodhi, the Ish Sodhi man cad. And this is a very disappointing man cad. So this is...
all unsuccessful man cads are disappointing.
Yes, indeed. And this one was successful. Bangladesh bowler Hassan Mahmood, he man catted New Zealand batter Ish Sodhi. Did it perfectly well. Lovely, lovely to see. Ish Sodhi wandering out of his crease like an idiot. Out.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And then Bangladesh captain Litton Das withdrew the appeal and called Ish Sodhi back, gave him a hug. I don't know what's going on here. This is just dreadful stuff from the Bangladesh captain.
Terrible.
I mean, withdrawn appeals like this, they should be automatically investigated by the anti-corruption units.
Absolutely.
It's just too suspicious. If you take a wicket, you can't be untaking wickets. So, yeah.
No. And what did the bowler think of it?
I don't think he was very happy. I've got a wicket. So, yeah, I think Bangladesh have had a meeting since and said, we're going to decide whether we're going to do it or not. And if we are going to do it, we're not going to withdraw the appeal. So, calm down, Skip.
Yeah, good idea. So, Mahmood wasn't involved in the hug, I presume.
No.
Who was involved in the hug? Was the umpire involved in the hug?
The umpire could have been. No, I think it was Ish Sodhi and the captain, Litton Das. So
yes, very suspicious.
Very suspicious indeed. So investigate that, please.
Yes. Well, we still have, I think, 3 or 4 or maybe half a dozen mullers to go. And I want to talk about Matty Wade.
Matty Wade,
I didn't even think he was still playing cricket.
But he is?
He is. He's playing for Tasmania. Tasmania has Matty Wade still as the wicketkeeper.
Mm.
And, of course, recently he was handed a 2-match suspension
for being Matthew Wade.
It could have been anything, probably for swearing. He was found guilty of abusing cricket equipment during the Marsh Cup match against Victoria.
This is the true highlight of the Marsh Cup so far.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes, definitely. So I love this, and I was speculating what sort of abuse might he have been. And I love Matty Wade, but I am constantly in fear that he'll turn into a milkshake duck at any point.
Yeah, I think he's gone all the way around. I think he's gone. I think he started as a milkshake duck,
right,
and is whatever the opposite of a duck shake milk.
Yes, maybe. Well, anyway, he's clearly got a vile temper, so I'm ready to withdraw my love at any stage if he goes full Stuart McGill, for example.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm assuming it was verbal abuse of cricket equipment.
Yeah.
And the cricket equipment is the same cricket equipment that most use. And I can just imagine this sledging, you know, stupid gloves, couldn't even catch a cold.
Yep.
I can imagine no swearing at all in Wade's sledge there. Dumb box, your lack of brains, why people say think outside the box. And useless bat, you couldn't even hit a very large elevator button or whatever.
Yeah, so he's not very imaginative.
No.
But he's doing his best. And I think you're very wrong about the lack of swearing. I think.
Did I just censor that?
I think you censored that incredibly. I think every other word would have been some kind of swear word. So good work, Matty Wade. I hope he comes up with all kinds of other abuse for his cricket equipment during the 2-match suspension and goes again once he comes back out to
Why
play.
Why not? And I think Matty Wade's winning for mine so far.
He's got a good lead.
He's in the lead.
So we're getting down to the back end of this very lengthy All Muller episode. So the next one we've got is the Nepal v Mongolia T20.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the Asian Games, and Mongolia don't really know what they're doing. They're very new at the game.
Yep.
And Nepal were asked to bat first, and they did so. They put on 2 for 314 in their 20 overs. So that is officially the first ever 300-plus score in T20 internationals.
Wow.
And easily the highlight is Dipendra Singh Ari, and he hit 52 off 10 balls. 8 of those 10 balls were sixes, and he brought up his 50 off 9 balls, so the other two were a couple of twos.
Yes.
And that's pretty much an unbreakable record. You can't, barring some kind of overthrow assistance, you cannot get to 50 any faster than 9 balls. So that's a record that will, you know, stand the test of time, presumably. So they scraped home by 273 runs after restricting Mongolia to 41 in reply. So,
oh, poor Mongolia.
But very good for Nepal's net run rate. So that's
excellent.
Very good.
Yes.
And speaking of teams being thrashed, one last nomination.
Yeah, this is from the Asia Cup finals.
Yes.
Sri Lanka were playing and they were out for 50.
Mm.
Now, we didn't see this because too many simultaneous one-dayers, right?
Yep. There was a Australia South Africa game going on at the same time, I think. Yes,
but this was such a short match. I mean, we could have watched it in the break of one of South Africa versus Australia. But anyway, it was Mohammad Siraj, wonderful bowler who tore through the Sri Lankan top and middle order. Took 4 wickets in his second over.
It's 4 wickets in an over.
Yeah, and the opponents were 5 for 12 at that point.
5 for 12, so they did well to get to 50, I reckon.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you tweeted out that you were impressed with Siraj taking the 4 wickets.
Yeah, I mean, the odds of you getting 4 wickets in an over and not getting a hat trick are pretty slim. So he did very well to avoid that fate. So yeah, it was very easy for India to wrap up the Asia Cup final. They had 10 wickets and 263 balls to spare. So they just scraped home there to hold the trophy aloft. And there'd been lots of criticism about reserve days in the tournament, which I think we spoke about previous episode.
Yeah.
And they didn't really need a reserve day at all for this this final match.
No.
They needed whatever the opposite of a reserve day is. They needed a reserve T20 to be played in the extra time they had left over.
Well, maybe if the result is this bad, they just have to replay the whole match.
Yeah.
Not good enough. Sorry, guys. Yep. This is not a proper cricket match.
Yeah.
And really crafty, actually, for Sri Lanka, giving India batters not nearly enough practice at finals coming up to, might count against them in the World Cup.
Very cunning indeed. So loads of nominations.
Who at the end?
Who do we think wins this extended edition of the All Muller episode?
I can't remember them all, so it's impossible to judge.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Scott Muller, who inspired the entire segment.
He never wins anything, does
he? So this is for Scotty Muller. Congratulations to Scott, and thank you for listening. You've been listening to Dan Lipke. That's me. I'm at Leib Cricket on Twitter. Kat Jones is at Cricket Bat Cat, and you can follow us on at Can't Bowl Throw. Like us on Facebook, and you could subscribe to my newsletter. That's newsletter.leibcricket.com, and I will have loads and loads of World Cup content, and we will see you all next week.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.